This summer has been full of soft, beautiful evenings that you could be spending on your deck, if you had one. This hour, building decks, fixing decks, and how to know when you need professional help. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. He'll walk us through the steps of planning a deck, building a deck, fixing a deck, and how to hire someone to build the right deck for your home. He'll also answer your questions about the projects on your to-do list. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. And we've had a lot of deck weather this summer. Maybe not yesterday with all the showers across the state, but we've had a lot of lovely evenings that you can enjoy outside. And wouldn't it be great if you had a deck, Bill?
Yes.
You probably have a deck.
Yes, but... yes, I do.
Yeah. All right. This hour, we're going to talk about building a deck. We're going to talk about planning a deck. We'll talk about fixing your deck. And, of course, when you need to call a professional to give you a hand, which a lot of us do. So I think a lot of people think that this is the ultimate DIY project. This is something you can do yourself. I'm going to put a deck on my house. For a lot of people, maybe it's even their first construction project.
And it's really basic. I mean, everything is basic, too. This is one of the, probably one of the easiest projects that you can do for do-it-yourself. Probably, especially if it's a low deck, you know, like if it's, you maybe are putting it over a concrete patio that you already have in the back that you don't like going down two steps to this thing, and you're tired of looking at that old crappy looking concrete and you want to cover with something really good looking, then it's okay. But there are a lot of little things that you need to know. And probably one of the best references, you know, I always like to push this one really. It's from the American Wood Council, and it's a prescriptive deck construction guide. And that goes through every little nuance that you should be looking at, you know, as far as, you know, footings and how large they should be. You shouldn't really look at neighbors' projects. You shouldn't look at other do-it-yourself. You should look at what this guide shows you. And there's a lot of things on the internet that they'll build decks. But there again, you've got to remember that, you know, we're in a cold climate. Probably one of the things you want to think about is when you're looking at a deck, am I ever going to tie this deck to the house other than just the platform, the actual deck itself? You know, am I going to make it a three seasons porch, you know, maybe 5 years from now and put a roof on it that attaches to the house? If you're going to attach it to the house, then you have to have footings that go down to our frost level, basically 48 to 60 inches, depending where you're at in Iowa. And one thing we've learned about that is, You can pour concrete in the ground for footings, let's say, and you can buy forms, you can do all these things. We used to just, you know, take some post hole augers and dig down in the ground. What we found out, especially if you're going to tie it to the house, is frost, you know, we think, okay, frost goes down 48 inches. Well, it's going from the surface down to 48 inches, and if you don't take into consideration that the sides of your forms or rough concrete, if you just dug some holes, they're gonna freeze and attach to the soil, and the soil's gonna raise, and you could go down 12 feet. It doesn't matter if the frost can grab the sides of these footings, it can lift it up. And I've seen this an awful lot in Iowa where the deck will raise and lower through the seasons, even though they went down 4 feet. And if it's tied to the house, now we're talking some, you know, some real damage.
Some torque.
Yes, right. It'll take, you know, especially if you've shingled into the roof, all of a sudden you're thinking, well, how come I've never had a roof leak? Now I have. I put on a new roof. And it's something that you really don't see. Up in Minnesota, I was up there this last winter, and I saw a deck that came up over 6 inches in one spot, and now I went back last week, looked, and it's back down where it was before. So what we recommend is, and it's not in this guide, and that's why I want to bring it up, is to go down in the ground maybe a foot and put 2 inches of foam
4 feet out. So what you would basically do is put two sheets of foam. They're 4 by 8 by 2 inches thick, like pink, blue, green, extruded polystyrene foam that's made to go underground, is centered in those two sheets. So basically you're going out 4 feet, you know, in all directions, and then cover it with whatever you want to do for landscaping. But at least that'll keep the frost from going down and lifting the deck. That's one of the concerns a lot of times in the do-it-yourself things. I've never seen it on the TV shows. I've never seen it in the magazines. But for us in a cold climate, we have to think about that. And that can sometimes be the problem with putting a deck over a concrete slab, is if there's no footings underneath it, and there usually isn't, is it'll raise and lower. And that's, like you say, that's where it causes torque, and that's where it causes decks to fail. You have to think about, let's say if you're going to have a deck coming from your first floor and it's 8 or 9 or 10 feet off the ground. Okay, first of all, how many people am I going to have out there at one time? You can only have, the codes are 40 pounds per square foot. So if you take that area that you have, take times 40, and then take it times your heavyweight friends, you know, you can tell, okay, Bob, you've got to sit over here. Dean, you can't go out till Bob comes back in, you know, because we're overloading the deck. And, you know, so you have to think about, especially if you're going to put a hot tub up.
Right.
I mean, I always like to pick on my best friend's got a place in Arkansas, and I love picking on him. And it was really easy to pick on his deck that the guy built, because there was a hot tub on the house that he bought. And I went out there and I said, you know, even without the water, this deck, I don't think, can hold that hot tub. You add the water and you, I said, you know, you're going to be sliding down the hill. And how it ever got by a code official, or how it ever got by, they must have never put water in it, because I don't know how it ever held up. You have to take into consideration those weights. You want to think about, do I want maintenance? Do I want to be able to go out there maybe every year and wash it and clean it? You know, do I want to pay all that money up front for a really nice, like a vinyl or a plastic, you know, decking material? Or do I want to go with treated or cedar or these new composites? There's such a large range. And for the do-it-yourselfer, you know, you may want to just start off with going with wood, like a pressure-treated wood. I'm not big on having that, you know, underneath your feet. But, you know, once you treat, you take care of it. But pressure-treated wood, you've got to remember there's a reason that it's cheap. I mean, it's the absolute cheapest price product you can put on a deck. It does tend to expand and contract a lot and crack. So there's going to be maintenance.
Well, I think that's something a lot of people build decks or buy homes with decks, and it seems like something that's just going to last forever. But
yeah,
they can start looking really lousy within a couple of years.
Oh, I tell you what, I've put them on where they look a couple lousy in a couple of weeks. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, it's always funny, especially if you talk to builders. You'll say, okay, how much you want to space these apart? And everybody will look at each other and they'll think, okay, did this wood just come out of the treatment plant where each board weighs about 100 pounds? Or has it been sitting around and a lot of the treatment moisture is gone and it only weighs maybe 10 pounds? Because if it's super wet and you screw it down and you give yourself maybe a quarter-inch gap, you'll end up with a half-inch gap by the time it dries. Now, I run into the opposite issue is where it was pretty lightweight. I put it down, put it right what I thought was, you know, I put about a 5/16 gap in there, 5/16 of an inch gap. And then it was a lot of water was in it, and a lot of rain would always come on it. And those things just closed right up. And I'm, you know, oh, great. You know, here I am supposed to be telling people what to do, and I do the exact wrong thing. So there are advantages, you know, to looking at maybe the composites and that, because if you look at, you add up all the maintenance, say over 10 years of washing and cleaning and thinking about all your landscaping that's around all these when you're using, you know, chemicals, the stains, you know, it's not the color that I like and it still warps and it cracks. Maybe I should have thought about it in the first place. Just
so what kind of material do you like?
Well, I personally like cedar because I don't, you know, I part of my house has cedar, part of it has treated. The cedar on the front, I like it when it weathers. My wife, I know I'm going to have to stain it here pretty soon, but I like when it just weathers. It looks that nice, soft, Grail. And what's funny is you look in these magazines and for 2016, everybody wants brown or gray for their deck. Well, I've already got it, and I didn't even do a thing to it. You know, I just like that
You're
look.
Always on trend.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got to always wait till those leisure suits come back. The same kind of mentality, you know. But a friend of mine used the composite, the new PVC, mm-hmm. and I and tell you what, it's a beautiful, beautiful deck, but that's a lot of money. A lot of times they use different types of fasteners. Sometimes the floor joists have to be closer together to carry that particular type board. But I think the one that lasted the longest was a real nice vinyl deck, a locking vinyl deck. We put that on in school. That would have been probably 16, 17 years ago now. And they really haven't done anything to it. In fact, the only downside to that particular one was if you get some damage on it, like you get a hole in it, it's really hard to take. You basically have to take the whole deck off the way the pieces align and interlock, take the whole deck off to get back to it. Mm. But other than that, just some power washing and cleaning, and it looks like new.
So what I'm hearing from you is that this is not a project to be entered into lightly.
A lot of thinking.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to build a deck that's not connected to your home, so this is strictly for outdoor use,
sure.
It's not going to go up to the first floor or something
yep.
like that. Is that the kind of project somebody can take on
oh,
themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you betcha. That's really a lot of fun.
So know what you want before you know how to.
Yes.
Jump in.
You know, because when you tie it to the house, that's sometimes where you may want to hire a professional, because that connection to the house is so crucial. In the 70s, we just, you know, would attach the board attached to the house called the ledger board. That holds up all the floor joists, and you use hangers on it, joist hangers, things like that. Back in those days, we just, okay, where can I get the biggest, longest spikes and nails? And we would hammer the heck out of it, you know. And we didn't think about water getting behind the siding and rotting out the wood behind it or rotting out the wood underneath the patio. We didn't know this kind of stuff. And now there's so many really cool products to keep the water away from the house and go over the decking. In fact, the last deck we put on, the actual ledger board is held out from the siding. So all of the water goes down the siding behind the ledger board like the deck wasn't even there. And one of the other things we've noticed that, you know, say maybe you want to upgrade your deck. You pull off the old pressure treated because you're tired of messing with it, and you want to put down a composite. Well, the top of the floor joists, which are floor joists are almost always treated lumber, maybe now they're not as good a shape as what you thought, because all those years the water would go down between the wood, or the screws would take out the wood because they get so much moisture on them. And so what we found out is before you put your decking down, you put an adhesive membrane like Grace Vicor is one, or a waterproofing material on top of the floor joists, so that when the screws go down, it keeps everything dry.
All right, so much to think about. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm talking with our home improvement expert today, Bill McAnally. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We've been talking about decks, and Bill's been scaring me from trying to take on a deck project. But if you have questions about decks or any of the other home improvement projects on your to-do list, give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So we were talking about moisture management just before the break, and that sounds like something that we really need to think about when we put in a deck. It's probably something a lot of us don't necessarily think about.
No. And that's why it's so much fun to, you know, to pull up on the internet. My hobby is like building failures. So try to pull up as much information as you can on why things fail. And then that's going to help you make the best decision you possibly can on what you're building. What I did on my own deck here just a couple weeks ago, my Arkansas buddy comes up and he likes the heat, and it was a hot day. I said, fine, we'll go outside and pull decking off. And at the time when I built the deck, I had an assortment of screws, and so this caused a little tension because I had Phillips. I had square tip. I had these Torx. And he had to keep digging through it, you know, and he kept whining and whining about that. I made him pull all the screws out. But anyway, what had happened is, you know, like I said before, those boards had kind of gotten too close together. And so what we did is we put down new decking. And before I put the new decking down is I put a catchment system underneath the deck. This deck is just off the ground about a foot and a half or so. It's behind the house. And so I put a catchment system, basically a metal gutter system, so where the water came off the house, that would go through the decking into this metal catchment and then into my like a 6-inch pipe, and then that comes out in the yard away from the house. So it's taking all of that roof water away. So basically what I did is took that the problem with of gutters up high and just transferred it so that it comes down onto the deck, goes through the decking, and catches all the water and sheds it away. Because
and that should keep leaves out of there, too.
Well, you know, that's it. And then I don't have to keep climbing a ladder or put, you know, an expensive system up. The other nice thing about that is with gutters, no matter how good we do with gutters, always the weak point is the downspouts. You know, we never seem to get the downspouts where it comes off of the house at the bottom away far enough to shed the water anyway. But let's just say you're going to go ahead and build a deck out in the backyard. Basically, all you have to do is level the deck up, you know, dig down a little bit through the sod and put some blocking every maybe 4 feet around the perimeter if it's like a 12 by 12 deck, something like that. And the fun part comes in, especially when you try to remember all the math from the good old days, is squaring a deck up. We call it the 3-4-5 method, or 6-8-10. So if you imagine a right angle, if you go 6 feet one way, 8 feet the other way, the two legs, the diagonal is 10. It's the old Pythagorean theorem, but mm-hmm. that when we were in junior high, I remember locking up and thinking, you can't multiply letters. Remember A squared, B squared. You know, I remember
them.
Yeah. Well, I never could figure that one out. But when you've got to make money, then your brain kicks in and
right.
says, you know, hey, I know how to do this. or you can use a construction calculator, which comes in handy. But to square something up or check and see if any corners are square, you do like a multiple of 3, 4, and 5.
All right.
And that'll get you squared up. One other thing that we've gone to in the last few years, instead of just relying on the house and the decking boards to keep the deck from maybe moving left or right, you know, when you're standing on the deck, you know, is put metal bracing on top of the floor joists on top of the floor joists before the decking. And yes, you'll see it from below. And had some people say, I don't like the looks of it. Well, then don't look at it. I mean, the reason is you put this X bracing on. This keeps that deck square. All your pieces fit correctly now, which you don't have to fight. But it also it gives you that integrity of you're not getting movement on any of the fasteners or nails where they attach to the house.
All right, so you can have a larger party.
Yes.
More people
yeah.
on that deck.
You can put your floor joists, you know, 2x12, 6 inches apart, and you can, you know, park the beer truck on the deck, and then you don't have to do any walking. You just got to
right.
figure out how you're going to do this, what you want.
We've got some questions for you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send an email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This one's from Amy in Ames. How practical is it to, and how would one go about, converting part of a deck into an entryway or small mudroom?
It's,
so I guess first you have to know that the deck is attached to your house
yeah,
to make
yeah.
that work, right?
Yeah, that's the key is she brings up, you know, where she's really thinking about how, okay, I'm going to turn this into something that's more than just a flat platform. What you'll want to do is you'll want to take off the first 2 or 3 or 4 pieces of decking and see how that deck is attached to the house. This is going to be your only chance. So what you may have to do is see, does it have bolts? Or does it have just nails? In the old days, people would just grab really big drywall screws, which hold nothing. And then you'll want to go inside the house. If you can get access to it, check that these fasteners are coming through the wood on the inside and see if there's any moisture damage. This is where you may have to replace some structural members of the house. You know, it can get pretty expensive pretty fast if it was built like we did in the 70s. If it's attached into concrete, then you just make sure that you have the correct fasteners. You may want to bring somebody in that understands, you know, the attachment to go into to that. But if there's a couple ways to do this, you can, if it's, let's say it's attached to the house real well. Now you'll want to go to the outside edge and see, you know, maybe it's, she's talking, maybe it comes out from the house 6 feet. So go out there and see what's holding the deck up. If it's just sitting on the soil, then you're going to have to, you're, you know, if you're, especially if you're in town, the building inspector of the city is going to require that you go down 4 feet. And here's where you have to start thinking about raising and lowering because of frost. And other than that, you know, then you're pretty much in good shape. But also you have to think about how much weight is going to be there, because a lot of these platforms had undersized floor joists. So that's why you want to refer maybe to this deck construction guide to see, you know, if it's substantial enough to hold. And you may end up just taking that off and building a new one.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
There, yeah, there's a, there, you know, they're a fun, they're such a fun project, and I don't want to try to
scare people,
but
I think you've scared people.
Well, good, but there's a, you know, because we don't want to have any problems down the road. The,
right.
The biggest thing is we want to make sure that there's not going to be any possibility for anybody getting hurt.
Right.
That's the big, and there have been a lot of deaths and injuries because of poor attachments to houses.
All right. Well, let's get to the phones. Here's, yeah, you're a lot of doom and gloom today.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to the phones. And here's another question about converting something into something else. Nancy's on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I bought a little bungalow in Des Moines 9 months ago, and I love the enclosed front porch. But there's kind of a lean-to back porch that I don't use. It's ugly. I hate it. I did re-roof the house as soon as I moved in, and I did re-roof that little porch in the back. I mean, it runs all the way across the house, but it, you know, it slants down to the windows. And I just had a brilliant idea that I would like to make it into a greenhouse, but I didn't know if that was feasible.
Well, is the floor slant?
It has a concrete floor.
Oh, it does. Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can. You are going to have to get a permit to do that.
Okay.
And so what you want to do before you even start that is call the building inspector for your community and have them come out and say, you know, this is what I'm looking at doing, and I'd like your advice as to whether – if I do it, are you going to allow it? And what do you require? Because each city kind of has some different requirements. And about 99% of the building inspectors in Iowa, when they come out, they're more than glad to help you because they don't want to have to come back later and say, you know, this isn't going to work. And then also what this will do will give you an idea of what the requirements are to be able to have somebody come in and bid the project. And it would help you.
Would it be cheaper to tear that porch off and put a new greenhouse on, or try to convert the porch to a greenhouse? Which one would be? I mean, I just don't know what direction to go.
Yeah, you know, it really depends, I guess, on how big of a greenhouse you want to. Because if it's the length width of the house, you know, it could get a little bit overwhelming. The other issue is having greenhouses attached to the house, you're going to have an excessive amount of moisture that can cause havoc with the whole rest of the house, throw the dynamics off of the house,
I didn't think about.
Yeah, having it separate. I mean, if it was me, if you think it looks ugly, I'd get rid of it, and then have a separate one, because especially the moisture is what really scares me. We've seen houses that have just a few plants. And an aquarium, uh-huh. And maybe somebody has an aquarium in there, and wow, I mean, we're looking at all kinds of moisture issues just because of that. If you had a greenhouse that was fairly large, amount of moisture coming into the home would, you know, could be devastating to the house.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the information.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Nancy. You have a great one. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Brandon is up next in Ames. Hi, Brandon.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
I've got a question about some plastic under my deck. We've got a big deck on the back of the house we bought. and I was doing some work and noticed some plastic sheeting and got poking around and found out that the whole deck, it's about 400 square feet. It's all covered with plastic sheeting on the ground. And when you look after a rain, it's puddling water. And I think that's where we're getting mosquitoes. And I was wondering if there's a reason that plastic's there or can I just remove it?
Well, actually, there's a couple of good reasons to have it there. It stops any plants from growing up underneath there. And what I would do is I'd just find, go online and find an organic safe, child safe mosquito repellent or something to put underneath there, because, and it also keeps water from getting into the house from any, maybe some soils that they had to do extra digging and thing when they put on the deck to keep it from getting into your foundation and around the house. I always put plastic underneath the decks just for that reason. Usually cover it with like landscaping gravel. And then it kind of holds the water. That may be an option, just put some P-Rock over the top of it, and then that'll hold the water. And then as it evaporates, it actually has a cooling effect as well for underneath the deck. But I wouldn't take it out, because boy, then you're messing with weeds, and it's really funny. It just seems to keep the critters out of there too. I don't know that, you would think they just burrow right through it, but they just don't seem to want to mess with it.
Okay, you bet.
All right, thanks a lot for your call, Brandon. So is that something we should also think about when we put in a deck, maybe plastic underneath or some kind of shield?
Yeah, some sort of a shield. It is because if you put a deck on top of the ground, even if it's 8 inches high, you're going to notice all of a sudden all these little button weeds and all this stuff coming growing up through the boards. And but then you got to remember, if you ever move the deck, now you've got this big dead spot, and no matter how well you think you can patch grass, you'll see that for 20 years. So,
right.
There again, you've got to think, am I ever going to want that big old square patch of ryegrass in the middle of my yard? So there again, you've got to think. But yeah, it's really good to put that plastic in and just cover it with, like the lava rock or P-Rock or something like that. And a lot of times, if you have enough space, it's really good storage for, like things like plastic toys or things like that for the kids.
All right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe.
Or the kids.
I feel like a lot of things go under decks that you wish didn't go under decks.
Yeah, woodchucks. Yeah.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call with your questions. Here's a question from Dan. Curious if a vented soffit and roof is wise. I just read a building science article that implies you might be sucking more water vapor into your roof. They suggested a vented roof at the top. Use a traditional vent at the top of the roof and cap with something like Tyvek that allows moisture out but not any air.
Okay, yeah. Capping it with Tyvek, moisture vapor goes through Tyvek, air vapor or air particles or molecules don't. It's the size of the material. There are a lot of different schools of thought and a lot of different types of houses. You really can't make a blanket recommendation anymore, because each house has a different structure. Each house has a different amount of lineal feet at possibly the ridge and the soffits. My home, I'm kind of at a different school of thought. My house doesn't have a ventilated attic. I have a really tall, dark colored roof and everything, and I stop the air at the ceiling, so I'm not trying to vent any air, and I have enough insulation in the attic that the heat difference doesn't really make that much of a difference. It's only a few degrees from a vented attic. But the ideal system is to have soffit vent and roof vent, and the good shingle over style vents for the ridge. You don't really have moisture issues with those. If you put Tyvek over the top, that's fine, but it can also get a little bit clogged. And air, we've got to remember how fast air can go through a product. Air molecules go through Tyvek, but it doesn't go through Tyvek as fast as it would if you didn't have it there. So you're really impeding the airflow. And in fact, you may have enough impediment to that airflow that it wouldn't even be effective. You would have to change all of your calculations for how many feet of ridge and how many feet of soffit. So I wouldn't, a lot of these blogs and all this stuff that we see in different magazines and that, some of these ideas that come up, you think, okay, you know, this, where'd this person get this? And in theory, it could work, but I don't think it would in Iowa. I mean, if you really want a good system to work, you've got to have a lot of air going out that at a certain amount of time, and it's not. The Tyvek is going to do its job and stop the air, where moisture vapor will get through it. But there again, my system, the one I put in my house, mine works great. I don't have any moisture issues. I don't have anything. But all those other little steps to achieve that have to be done correctly. So to say that it works on his house, because I don't know if his ceiling is air sealed. You know, you're required by code on new ones, but in that particular house, that ceiling has to be airtight before you can say to even try something like that. So you're better off just going, sticking with what is required by code and have it soffit and rich. And if you have a hip style house which means that the roof comes up from all four, let's say you have a rectangle house, the roof angles from all four sides, you have very little at the top. For air, and so they're hard to do the calculations. It's if you get a room of building scientists together, you'll probably get out of 100 of them, you get 100 different opinions. So, but I wouldn't do that because just to play it safe on his house, I haven't seen it.
Do something tried and true. Don't take a risk.
Yeah,
because this is your roof.
Yeah,
I'd
be a little scared about cutting that amount of air going out the top on his house.
Right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. You can join the conversation with your questions, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour, our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. He is here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, we were talking about roofs just before the break, and you want to add a little clarification, right?
Yeah, on Dan's question about the vented softening that when you cover something with Tyvek and how moisture moves and things like that, remember the biggest mover of moisture is air. So if the air can't move, the moisture isn't really going to go anywhere either. The transportation system for that moisture is the air that would go out the top. And if you stop it, the moisture probably isn't going to go out anyway.
Okay.
And it would be going at such a slow rate, especially in the winter, it would probably condense either in the insulation, which would be bad, or on the underside of the roof sheeting, which would also be bad.
All right, so you do not like that idea.
No, I don't. Now, the more we thought about it, no, I don't.
All right, here's a question from Marcus. I have a house built in the early 70s. The deck is at the same level as the main floor of my house. The deck was connected to the house by the floor joists from the home extending to the outside and are also the joists for the deck. It is not a covered deck. If I ever redo the deck, should I cut those off and attach traditionally? What would I do to prevent these from sucking up water and rotting? I've seen it happen on my neighbor's house.
Wow. I can't. That's something dumb we did in the 70s. There's a lot of them in Iowa. I don't know what we were thinking when we – I only did
you
that.
You were saving time. You were being efficient.
I only did that once. And then after I was done, I says, what was I thinking? Because it's exactly what he's saying about how that moisture is going to go right along the sides of those forges. I don't know why that hasn't fallen off.
Already, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, maybe it's sagged enough. The water's going outwards instead of coming in. But, yes, if you're going to redo it, cut them off. And what you do is you would cover the whole outside where you're going to attach your new ledger board. Cover it with Grace Vicor waterproofing or a bitumen product. It's a waterproofing that you would put on the foundations of a basement. Cover that so that no moisture can get through whatsoever. And then I would go back to, I like the system where you put the siding on and then put the ledger board over it. A lot of people don't, but that's okay.
So is he going to have to get rid of his whole deck to do that? Or?
Because those floor joists, those aren't rated. I mean, they're supposed to be pressure treated anyway. Mm-hmm. Nobody understood it back then, and we were using the wrong fasteners on the treated lumber back then anyway. I would do that because it's funny about wood. Sometimes you look at a floor joist and it looks great from the outside, and you don't know what it's like inside. So I would go up there with like maybe a, you know, an ice picker or a scratch awl or a knife or something, and start digging around in the wood where it comes, goes right into the house, and see if the wood is, has any structural damage to it at all. Those really make me nervous, and okay. Most of them have been replaced by now. So
this is a project you'd like him to move up his to-do list.
Yeah, I put that. In fact, I put it at the top of my list before I stepped out on it again.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Marcus.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, sorry.
Well, we did things in the 70s.
All right. I've heard about this.
Yes.
Here's an email from Dan. The posts of my deck are sitting in cement, I assume 48 inches into the ground, but I'm noticing the cement is cracking and falling apart on the surface. Is this something I should replace? If so, how do I do this?
Dig around it, put gravel around it. It's better than concrete. Because
so dig around it, but leave
all
it
all the way down
there.
To 48 inches.
Okay. All right. But you leave the cement there. You're not trying to get that out.
No, I'd take it. Because what I'm visualizing I'm looking down at the footing, you know, the concrete and the wood in it. The best thing to do is pour concrete and then have the post sit on top of it.
Okay.
And then what you do is you use the anchors that you'll see at hardware stores, big box stores. The size, let's say it's a 4x4 treated post, is they have metal anchors that hold the post up off the concrete. We should never put the cut end of a post on top of concrete because it'll wick right up the center. And rot it out. So it should be on this standoff, this metal bracket hanger that holds the bottom, and that's bolted into the concrete. So either if he wants to keep the post, I would just as soon prop up the deck very safely, prop it up, and dig down, put new footings in, and put the hanger, and then you can adjust the post and have it all set. Because when I'm doing seminars and stuff, I have a really cool piece of 4x4 that when I hold it facing down, everybody, I said, so take a look at this, you know, it looks like a good treated piece of lumber. And I hold it up and I show the bottom of it. There's only maybe a quarter of an inch of wood around the outside perimeter of that board. The rest is hollow going up inside of it because when they treat it, they don't treat the inside of it. It's just the outside. So when it's cut, then the whole inside can rot and you could have basically a shell holding it. So, that's what I would rather see him just dig it out and start all over. Then in case the deck isn't, you know, level, he can, now's his chance is to get everything perfect.
All right. On the bright side.
Yes.
All right. Don is on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Okay. I've got a nice deck that I like, but underneath it, I have water coming into the basement. And so do I have to totally remove the deck? How do I do it with the least damage to the deck, I guess, is my question.
Well, you know, I tell you what, that's a really good question. Is how far off of the ground is it right now?
The deck is about 2 feet off the ground.
Is it like 12 by 12 or about that size?
Yeah, more like 8 by 12.
Oh, okay. I tell you what we've done. In fact, we did it on a project in Northeast Iowa. I had a guy do this. He had to re-side, and so what he did is he just pulled the first three deck boards off and unbolted it from the house. But before he did that, he put some temporary boards underneath the whole thing, basically built like sawhorses or a rail, basically off of the ground about 2 feet. Had it propped up. Took the boards off, and then he slid it away from the house on top of these rails. Are you following me? It's kind of hard to describe.
So you take the boards closest to the house, you take those off, and then you slide your deck away from the house?
Yeah, because he put like a couple walls underneath it, straight up and down. They were, you know, braced up from left to right so that they wouldn't tip, and then he just slid the deck on top of those walls that he built temporarily, you know, like some 4x4s that were, you know, propped up from underneath, slid it off, did his work, and then slid it back. And it worked really well. He just pulled it with a four-wheeler.
That sounds a heck of a lot simpler than anything I've thought of, so thank you.
Yeah, you know, and like 6x6s, 4x6s, you know, something like that. But, you know, make sure that thing's strong enough to hold the deck, and yeah, you just pull it out. And it worked slicker than a Dickens. I mean, it was so easy to do.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you bet, Don.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100. Next up, we've got Everett in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Everett.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Good. I have a deck. It's a small deck on the back of my house. And it's like, oh, it's 3 feet wide by roughly 4.5 feet. Well, the boards on it just continues to get moldy and mildewed. And I've tried to bleach it out, and I put Thompson's water stain on it, and it might last a year, then it comes back. So what I want to do is get rid of the whole deck and go with something different. I assume this has footings under it. I don't know that because I did not build it. You talked earlier about this locking vinyl. Would that be something I could put back there?
Yeah, it sure would. Yeah, because, you know, hard to say what's underneath it. Do you think there's a concrete slab underneath it?
No, there's not a concrete slab. But see, this is, I had a sunroom built on the back of our house, and it's 19 by 16 feet. Well, going out the west door, and, of course, to have code, they had to have a step back there, a little deck and a step down. So, but I'm pretty sure because I replaced the boards once.
Okay.
And they're not even treated. The originals might have been treated. I don't know. But okay. I went out and just got these here. They're like one by six. I think they're probably pine.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure. I think there's probably a footing underneath the deck.
You know, there you can do the vinyl. Sometimes it's a little hard to find. The only downside to the vinyl is the edges. They have special, you know, that's where all the money is at. You may want to look at, rather than go to the lumber yard and ask for AZEK, it's AZEK or Trex.
Okay. See, I was thinking, I mean, I won't do it myself because this has a handrail.
Okay.
And the handrails are, the original, there was no handrails there at all. Well, when my mother-in-law was here, I wanted to make sure she had something to hang on to. So I just put up 2x2s, and they are just 2x2s treated lumber and a rail on the top, and it slants all down as you're going down the steps. I assume you can get something like that to make, have it made like that, or
yeah,
or
you'll want to make sure that that's really beefed up, the handrail.
And this one here I put on is not.
Okay, yeah, you'll want to get something that can take a lot of sideward lateral pressure.
The base underneath, should I replace that? I have that replaced because, you know, it's going on 20 years old now.
Yeah, just get it all redone now that way. And he may be able to then fabricate a better attachment for the handrails. And that handrail should be like 34 to 38 inches high off of the deck.
Oh, it should. Yeah. See, this is only... Oh, the top might be 3 feet, and it slants down. I have it slanting down to the steps. That way there, my mother-in-law could grab the handrail a little better.
Okay.
Alrighty. It's not level straight across. Okay. And ZTAC, you called it.
AZEK.
AZEK.
A-Z-E-K. Yep.
All right. Good luck, Everett. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Ray in Waterloo. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
What's your question?
I have an older deck. And I've never treated it. I've never put Thompson sealer on it. And I, every 3 years, clean it with bleach or mistakenly a couple times with a power washer and actually eroded some of that wood.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is underneath that deck, if I turn the boards over, it's almost like brand new lumber looking, you know, that way.
Yep.
I know it's going to have lines in it where it's going across the joists, but I've seen commercials at local lumber yards, contractor yards. They have a sealer that you can seal good wood to just about any color you want.
Right.
And I was thinking about, instead of building a deck, turning over the lumber that I know is good and replacing some of the lumber that, like on the back rails, on the back of the seats, where you lean back, I can't turn those over because it would look crummy on the outside anyway, so that would need replacement. Would that be a bad idea to turn over the lumber that I can?
No, I've done
that. does that stuff really work and look good if you're sealing dry wood?
I've done exactly that. I've salvaged decks before, and I just turned it over, like you said, but then you've got the line, you know, but... Well, put the, like the Grace Vicor or, you know, an adhesive membrane on top of the floor joist after you've pulled the old ones off. And, you know, you're talking about products like that restored deck, you know, that's real heavy duty material, so it'd all be the same color. You know, it fills in the cracks and everything. Now, my buddy did that. It's kind of funny how it's Mr. Arkansas again. We just did that on his last summer, flipped over the good ones and then replaced the other ones with new. And it's only been in the sun for a year, granted, and it's held up very well. There's been a lot of people have failures with it, but a lot of people have been happy. And I don't know if it's because of the brand or the application. One of the things is you can't put that on until that wood will accept it, which means that if water sits on top of the wood and doesn't go down into it, be sucked in by the wood, then this product isn't going to work very well.
Okay, that would be my only last question. And if the boards that I do replace, and I had listened to the conversation earlier, when you get wet, treated lumber, it's going to shrink.
It's going to shrink.
How long would I have to wait if I got, say, some lumber that was like medium wet, medium dry?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to wait till that wood will accept the water, because I just put some down too, and I was getting all rammy about, you know, hey, I want to put a coating on it, and I can't because the batch that I got was pretty wet. It's really hard to tell, and you know, you're just going to have to call the manufacturer.
I could flip the seating. I could flip the deck floor,
sure.
Treat that the way I wanted, and then put new boards on the back where you lean back and just wait to do that. If it takes a couple years, it takes a couple years.
Right. Right. I would do that, but I would also get with whatever brand you get, I'd call the manufacturer. I don't ever rely on the written on a project that big. Call them, explain what you're doing, and get their name and everything. And have them tell you exactly how it should be done, so that it takes all the questions out of it.
And I'm a subcontractor, used to be a contractor, but what is the difference between the old green treated that had formaldehyde in it?
Oh yeah,
and this I call it yellow treated lumber.
Yeah, the old
yellow treated.
Yeah, the old had arsenic, and then the new one they got rid of the arsenic. The new one has more of the copper in it. And when they changed that over, the problem is a lot of people kept using the same fasteners, same nails. Is the new treated, if it stays damp, if it's not flashed correctly, I've tore some projects apart, and we've had where nails and steel have completely disappeared in 7 years. So you have to be sure and use the triple galvanized or stainless steel fasteners. It's really scary when we're using the wrong fasteners, like fasteners like we used to use with the new treated. And so, like I say, I mean, I've tore some projects apart, and it's really scary what I'm finding.
You don't want gravity holding your deck together.
No, it's not a good thing. No.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Ray. And we're pretty much out of time, but this is a question from David. He put on a new deck, stained it red, then was going to restain it and accidentally grabbed porch and floor paint. It's bubbled up, flaked off, looks terrible. He's trying to get rid of it. He says he's power washed it and taken some of it down to the wood, thought of sanding it with a big sander. But any other ideas?
You know what we did on one like that is we pulled each board up and ran through a planer. You take a 16th of an inch off, you know, or less, and you're done.
Okay.
It's a lot easier than stripping it if you use the right screws. So, yeah. If you didn't use a hodgepodge like I pulled out of the barn, you're right.
All right, David. Good luck with that. Thank you so much for your calls and your questions this hour. Bill McAnally, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Charity.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, comes by once a month to help out with your home improvement projects. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at IPR Talk. I'm there, too, at Charity Nebbe. Thanks for listening.